Alrighty, last week we looked at the topic, kind of talking about faith a little bit, in Hebrews chapter 10, and we left off at the point where we were not supposed to take our sail down. You know, that's kind of what that picture was in the Greek language about when you are in a storm. In the natural, you would take your sail down so it wouldn't blow you over, and you'd maybe put up this special sail. They call them storm sails, a little bit smaller. But, you know, here it was challenged us not to take our sail down. And I'm going to follow up that today a little bit with the topic of now faith is. That's found in the next verse from Hebrews chapter 10. And this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You know, I found out that, just to oversimplify things, I don't like doing that, but it's easier sometimes, is that, you know, the world is full of two different groups of people. On one side, you have some people that have a positive attitude, and they go around always thinking, yes, we can. Amen? Yes, we can. I can do this. But then on the other hand, you have some people that kind of go around from time to time, and their main message in their life is, no, we can't. You know, no, we can't. And I believe God wants us to turn things around, you know, and be a little more optimistic, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, living our life, you know, that'll bring glory to His name. And what I see in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, is that the Bible is full of success stories. Now, granted, there's some stories of those who fall short, and I believe we need to learn from those experiences in our life, but, you know, I don't think those experiences need to dictate to us how we should live. So we need to be able to, you know, look into God's Word and being able to let that be an inspiration to us of what is possible. And I found out probably the fact is that we probably don't need a whole lot more definitions of faith, but we probably need more demonstrations of faith. And that's what will lead us on. Amen? So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And I'm going to read it from the New American Standard. And then I'm going to also read it from the Message Bible. New American Standard says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Then in the Message Bible, it says, "The fundamental fact of existence is this trust in God. This faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see." And I believe that puts it in some words that helps us to understand it better. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the opportunity You've given us, Lord, to come to You today. We thank You for the blood of Jesus. That's through that blood that washes us and makes us clean. Lord, we thank You that we have full access into Your presence, and we come into Your presence now, Lord, with great joy. Lord, I thank You for the anointing that You placed upon my life. I pray that You stir up the gift inside of me. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to look today from this from basically three different words. We're going to start with the first word, and that's now. You know, we live in the now, right? Now, some people who allow themselves to get this way just live in the past. And what I mean by that is the fact that they have allowed themselves to become a victim of circumstances. Now, not all things in the past are bad, because I know all of us have probably experienced several victories in our life. But what I'm talking about here is the fact that, you know, we get into a place in our life and in our walk with God where we allow the past failures to influence every decision that we make. And when we get into that place, we're never going to break out of the mold. We're never going to be set free and be able to experience the full blessings that the Lord Jesus came to make available to us as a church, the New Testament church. where we start to walk in these blessings and we start to experience these things that God says in His Word that are available to us. Then the other part that sometimes gets us in trouble is the fact that sometimes we have a tendency, what I think is, we live too far in the future. Now, usually I'm a believer in kind of looking to the future. But I think sometimes we can get that messed up in the sense that if we live too far in the future all the time, we can sometimes get the mindset in our life that, well, if I could just get this, I would be okay. Or if I just get that, I'd be okay. Or when we get to heaven, you know, nothing's going to be good until we get to heaven. So we kind of end up settling in that lifestyle, and then we're never satisfied, and we are never able to really experience everything that God has for us. Because I believe that we know that the circumstances need to change, but we wait for them to change. Now, I do believe in a sovereign God, and we need to yield to Him and His will. But I also know that the Bible says the just shall live by faith. That means that you and I need to be able to take God at His word and to be able to break free and to be able to learn how to function in the now. Because this is where we live, right? We live now. And maybe some things are coming into our life right now that are very difficult for us to deal with. You know, maybe, you know, marriage problems, maybe job problems, financial problems, all kinds of different problems that come into our life. And, you know, we need to learn how to function in where we're at right now, because I don't believe that if we can't really function in the now, we'll never really be able to function in the future, because the now is what prepares us for the next thing coming. And we need to get to the place where that we're starting to win here. And then that prepares us for the next step that God wants us to walk in the blessings. So that's what these victories are about. And I'm all for victories. Now, I know that sometimes we're going to get defeated, you know, but not in the long run. But maybe we'll lose a battle or two. Maybe some things just won't go the way that we want them to. You know, but we need to learn from those things. Don't let them things beat you down. Let those things be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. And when we do that, then we start to progress in our relationship and in our walk with God. You know, we don't need to be an ostrich. You know, the ostrich, you know, when trouble comes, they stick their head in the sand. You know, that don't get her done, does it? You know, it don't make your problems go away. You know, maybe maybe when problems hit, you stick your head under the pillow and just kind of wait it out. You know, but we need to learn how to fight. And we need to be able to utilize the Word of God in our life so that we can be able to break free of those things. And as we learn how to function in the now, I believe that then we can affect our future and have a positive impact on it to turn us around. How do we do that? Well, the one step that we have to take is the step of self-assessment. Now, this is a scary step sometimes, because sometimes when you assess yourself, and you got to be real about it. You just can't, you know, put some, you know, rosy colored sunglasses on and, you know, try to just see the best in your life. And I mean, it's good to be positive, but sometimes if we're experiencing some problems in our life, some defeat, then I think we need to kind of figure out, you know, what's going on. Now, one thing that I found out in my life, one thing I hate more than anything else, is self-inflicted pain. Have you ever hurt yourself? You know, maybe you're driving a nail and you hit your own thumb and you just wish you could blame somebody else, but you can't, because you're the one swinging the hammer. And see, it's like that in the things that we do in life, is that when, you know, problems come, you know, we all like to blame somebody else, and it's human nature to do so. But I like to, you know, be realistic about it in some ways and ask myself, how am I responding to the world around me now? You know, what's going on in my life right now? How am I reacting? See, there's an opportunity to act or to react. So if we choose to act, meaning that we already have a plan on how we're going to deal with adversity and the things that come our way, then we can get a better handle on it. But the sad thing is you and I sometimes fall victim to the fact that we react. And that's why the Message Bible says, do we have a handle on it? You know, do we have a handle on the life we're living right now? Are we in control in the sense where we're, you know, defining and dictating direction that we want to go? Or are we just like, you know, we throw a, like a, have you ever thrown a stick or something out in a pond and you just kind of let things kind of watch it just kind of go the way it wants? I mean, it's a victim to what the current will do. But see, you and I need to get past the victim mentality. See, the victim mentality will hold us back. We need to have the victor mentality. Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So that's talking about the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, so we're not alone in this battle, and that's what we forget. You say, I don't really feel the Holy Spirit. Well, I would probably say that nobody feels the Holy Spirit all the time. But I do know this, there are times that I do feel the Holy Spirit. And if you've never felt the Holy Spirit, you need to come here on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. and get in prayer meeting. We had a nice, yesterday we had a real nice touch of the Holy Spirit after we did our, we prayed and we worshiped God, and we just stood there in the presence of God and just felt His presence. And see, that only comes, it doesn't happen by accident, but we had to come and we had to do what we knew to do. You know, we prayed and we worshiped God and we opened our hearts up to Him. Now, I don't go by feelings. If I didn't feel the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't just throw in the towel. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we can do that. So we're not moved by those feelings, but I do thank you. It's just kind of an opportunity for us to be able to understand and to be able to comprehend that God really wants us to experience Him in a deeper way. Now, when I'm mentioning these things, living in the now, I'm not talking about living for the moment. I'm talking about living in the moment, and there's a difference. There's some people that only live for the moment. They pour all their money and all their time and all their efforts into trying to get everything they can out of this experience. But see, we need to be a people, a Christian people, that is learning how to live in the moment. You know, Paul said it very well when he said he learned how to live with a lot and he learned how to live with a little. Mainly, he just learned how to live. See, if we only base our living and our relationship with God based on our stuff, then we're going to get in trouble. So Paul was telling us there that it doesn't matter if my bank account is this overflowing or if I have all kinds of things that I need. Or it doesn't matter the fact that, you know, I don't have anything, I don't have any reserves, I'm, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. That doesn't matter. What matters is the fact of our connection and our relationship with God, so, and learning how to be content. And learn, because if we're not content, discontentment sometimes will drive us to make bad decisions. You know, I've watched people being discontented and they'll go and borrow money they can't really pay back to get something they don't really need. And then after they get it, then they get in trouble. Then they get all stressed out. Or they'll grab their little piece of plastic out and do the swipe. And then, you know, it's all good till the bill comes. But see, we need to learn that things don't make us content. They make us comfortable, but they don't make us content. Well, the next point I want to look at is the idea of now faith. So we've looked at now. Now we're looking at now faith. To me, faith is action. Faith is action. Now, I'm a firm believer in taking notes. I take notes anywhere I go. But I think there comes a time when we need to stop taking notes and start taking action. Amen. All that good stuff we've been writing down over the years, sometimes we just got to go do it. We just got to get off the couch and go make a difference in this world. You know, faith is not about what you know. Faith is about how you apply it. And see, this is where we leave religion and go over into relationship. Religion is more about information. It's more about acquiring all this information and being able to compile it and put it in a nice little package and be able to understand everything. But yet, that isn't going to do us any good because we're never really going to grow in our faith because faith has to be tested. And faith can only be tested when we go out and we try to step out and we try to apply it in our life, in an everyday life, in an everyday situation, starting to live out. And the goal is to try to see the promises of God start to open up to us and start to reveal these things to us so that we can start to walk in a deeper level of victory. So really, faith is about our response to what God said. Now, just a simple one. If God says that you're saved, that if you confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart and you know, you surrender your life to Jesus and repent of your sins, the Bible says you're saved, you know, and that's between you and God. Now, you may not feel saved every day. So do you base your life on your feelings? Do you feel like you need to come up and rededicate every week? I mean, it makes the numbers of the church look good because we keep track of all that stuff, you know. But you don't have to do that. There comes a time when you need to be able to receive. Now, there is times if you feel the Holy Ghost touching you to come up and get something right, the best place you can be is where God wants you to be. Amen? But there comes a time when we appropriate by faith, well, I know that I'm saved, so I know that my relationship with God is intact. I'm good. I just need to repent of this situation or maybe this sin that I committed. I don't have to, you know, go to God and plead and beg, oh God, forgive me. He's already forgiven us. Amen? We just need to receive it. And we need to walk in that. So once you understand it and it's in your heart, you're going to walk a different way. You're not going to walk with your head down. You're going to walk with your head up. Because you know your position. Now, all of us has been put in a position from time to time where maybe we don't feel like we measure up. You know, I remember first starting out as a kid, you know, in the construction business. And, you know, it's intimidating sometimes working around some construction guys, you know, because they, you know, pretty rough, crude guys, you know. And they tell you to go get something and you just think you got to go get it right now. You know, I remember starting out and they always had these big job trailers and they'd send you over to get something. And sometimes they just made up stuff for you to get just to mess with you. And you're in there just tearing through everything, just trying to find it. Couldn't find it. And you just feel so inadequate. And, sometimes I go through that. You know, sometimes when I run across something that I've never seen before, especially if I don't have my reading glasses with me, amen, you know, trying to read the small print on some things. You just kind of feel like, wow, I just feel a little over my head in this situation. But see, God wants us to feel that confidence that we know that our relationship is intact with Him. Now, there's a difference between the faith and my faith. I just want to clarify that a little bit. The faith is the all-encompassing thing that you and I are a part of. The faith. Are we a part of the faith? Well, that just means that we're part of the Christian community. We're part of that. And when it talks about the faith, I'm going to throw a little Greek information at you, not much. But it's talking about the definite article. When you see the definite article in a word in the Greek, that carries a lot of weight and a lot of you look at it a little bit different. Now the word that we hear seeing here or saw here was now faith, that doesn't have the definite article. It's not talking about the all-encompassing faith of the Christian religion. It's talking about our personal faith. Now, just to explain that a little bit, you know, if it's talking about the definite article, you know, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you know, we accept that. But in the Greek, what that's really saying is, I am the only way, I am the only truth, and I am the only life. That's what it means when it puts the definite article into it. It kind of changes the meaning of it. And if you don't really, you know, I don't know a lot of Greek. Like when I lived there, I knew enough to be dangerous, and that's about it. But I do know that this part is true. So, you know, when we see that, that's why we believe that Jesus is the only way. And that's why it should compel us to go out and to tell people about Him, about how He saved us. You don't have to know the whole Bible. Just know what He did for you. And that's a great start. Now, So that's about the faith. So the faith is more about the theology side, and my faith, talking about your faith, my faith, our personal connection with that faith, is talking more about methodology on how I live out my faith in everyday world. Now, some people live their faith out different than others, and that's all fine. But yet there needs to be some common ground with it too. Now, we do need good theology. I don't want to kick that to the curb. But I do think that you and I probably need to work more on our methodology, how we live out our faith in this world. You know, if the Bible is true, if, like I just mentioned, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, well, then that means we need to be somewhat evangelistic. We need to be somewhat of an inviting people. You know, not looking down on sinners, but looking at them as being having an opportunity to bring them into the kingdom of God. You know, and we don't need to be snooty, you know what I mean? You know, there's some snooty people out there. You know, we don't need to be like that. You know, here's how I see it. God forgave me. He can forgive anybody. And I just live by that. I don't matter how bad they think their sin is. I know Jesus' blood is more than adequate to deal with that situation, because it is powerful and it can set us free. So we need to look at it with that light, because, you know, our faith needs to be personal but not private. You know, and I fun with these people from time to time when you maybe strike a conversation with them and they say, well, my religion is private. You know, and of course I just can't contain myself. I just say, is it so private that God doesn't even know about it? And they look at me a while, and that ends the conversation and I move on. But, you know, our faith needs to be personal but not private. I don't know about you, but you cannot meet Jesus Christ and not want to tell somebody. It's hard. When Jesus changed my life, it just opened my eyes to a whole new realm and a whole new world. That for the first time in my life, I felt an acceptance that I've never felt before. That I felt part of God, even though I used to talk to God from time to time, usually when I was in trouble, right? I used to try to make deals with God. You know, God, if you do this, I'll do this. You know, and try to work out some stuff like that, but, you know, it usually didn't work. But finally, when I came to the point where I could make that connection with Him, it was just totally different. So, when we meet Jesus, we need to be very vocal about it and tell people and show the love of Christ. Now, lastly, now faith is. So we looked at now faith, and now faith is. Now, the Message Bible says it is the firm foundation that makes life worth living. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a thinker sometimes. And I think about, surely there has to be more than this. You know, I have a pretty good life. I'll be honest. You know, I'm pretty content. Can't say that I'm discouraged in any way, shape, or form, but yet I do know there has to be more than this. There has to be an afterlife. I don't believe we're just here like a little blip on a radar and gone. You know, I believe there's more to it. I believe, you know, I guess what the Bible says about life. And I believe that God wants us to understand that firm foundation. And I will say this, that before I was saved, I squeezed every ounce of pleasure I could out of the world. I did. I squeezed every ounce of pleasure that I could find, but it never satisfied me. I always felt like I wanted more. But when I met Jesus, that made a difference. That made a change. That I found out what was really satisfying, what life was about, and it totally turned things around. So it comes about trusting in God. Now, New American Standard Bible, it says, faith is assurance of things hoped for. See, faith will cause us to be sure about the things we're hoping for. You know, faith brings the future fulfillment of God's promises into present reality. There's a lot of promises in God's Word. Now, sometimes the Bible can be intimidating, I know that. It's a big, thick book. But if you break it down in bite-sized pieces, it's not so bad. Now, if you had a friend, and I hope you all have one, if not, I'll be your friend. I'm looking for a few extra. Amen? We never have too many friends. Now, if your friend says, hey, I want to bless you, I want you to meet me up at the restaurant at 6 p.m. tomorrow. And I'm going to buy you supper. And you've known this friend for years, and they always follow through. You can trust them. You say, yes, I will be there. Well, along about 4 o'clock, you say, well, I'm kind of hungry. So you go to the restaurant, and you go ahead and eat. Should you get mad at your friend for not buying that meal? No. You shouldn't. Because they said 6 o'clock. You went at 4. They're not even there yet. Or let's say you wasn't even hungry at 6, and let's say you changed it and you said, well, I'm just going to go at 8 o'clock. They'd have already eaten and left, and you go up there at 8 o'clock. Should you be mad at them if they didn't wait for you? No. Because they told you exactly the parameters of what was going down here. They said, 6 o'clock at this restaurant, I will buy your meal. And if you didn't get there at 6 o'clock and do it the way they said, then we have no reason of being mad. But yet we get mad at God sometimes because we don't fulfill our end of the relationship and do it the way that He says to do it. We just think we want to do it our way. Another thing about faith is talking about a title deed. Now, many of you probably know what a title deed is if you own any property or are in the process of purchasing some. Now, you don't get the deed until you get it paid for. That's the bummer part of it, right? But let's say you did have the money and you wanted to buy some land, maybe as an investment, or maybe you want to put a house there sometime. So you went up to the realtor and you just paid him for that 10 acres of land. Just paid for it right on the spot. Got all the legal stuff done. Handed you the title deed when you handed him the check. You own that. Even though you've never seen it and you're not living in it, you don't own it any more than you would if you did live on it. Right? Why? Because you have the title deed. You don't have to live on something to own it. All you have to do is have the deed. Well, we may not have appropriated in our life all the promises that God says in His Word, but God says faith is the title deed. It is all we need to say that we own that. So if we develop our faith to the place where we believe that we have the title deed, well, then we start to appropriate and we start to see God's promises start to manifest in our life. Now, the next word after it says faith is the assurance, it says faith is conviction of things not yet seen. So faith is our evidence of the things we don't see yet. You know, I like the old saying, now this is kind of might insult somebody, so I apologize ahead of time. If we were on trial for our faith, would there be enough evidence to convict us? And I think that's a fair question. You know, if we're on trial for our faith, would there be enough evidence to convict us? You know, there should be. Now, human courts, if we was in one, they can't deal with hypotheticals. They can only deal with the evidence or the facts that are being presented at the time. And God's kingdom, you know, is the same. God's kingdom only operates on the basis of faith. Faith is our evidence. So you say, well, how do you get this faith? Well, you know, we know the Word says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. I believe you develop your faith. I believe there comes a process in the sense where your mind has to be renewed. Because when we're just saved, our soul, you know, we're a spirit, soul, body, and I don't want to go in this too far right now. But our soul is the part of us that has had to connect in this world. You know, we connect here with the soul. And based on your education and the input of the information you put into your mind, that's how you relate to the world around you. But see, God also says that we are spirit. That's who we really are. So we have to get our mind renewed so we start to see things in the manner and the way that God wants us to see them, then we start to interpret around. And there's a lot of testimonies. You know, I've used this before. I mentioned it a while back, quite some time. You know, John G. Lake was a missionary, and he went down to that place, and they had the bubonic plague or different things, and people were just dying everywhere. And, you know, him and his helper, they were carrying the dead bodies and doing different things, And they sent a ship down, I believe, from England or somewhere. And they said, well, how are you doing this without any gloves or masks? How are you, you know, touching all this? Because that's how you get the plague, is you come in contact with it or something, or whatever disease they was dealing with. I don't remember which one it was. And he just said, well, he says, give me a piece of the virus or whatever. And they put it on his hand. They got a live piece of the virus. They looked under their microscope, and the virus or whatever it was alive. And then he said, well, put it on my hand now. They put that on his hand, and it died. The man had great faith. Now, me being the full gospel, spirit-filled preacher that I am, that's not natural faith. That's the gift of faith in operation and miracles, you know, found in 1 Corinthians 12. But nevertheless, we see the fact that what that potential was there. He didn't die. The disease died. And he got to that place in his life because he believed what the Bible said was more true than what natural science would say. And that's a good place to be. Now, I'm not saying we go out and test God and jump off cliffs and do all that. That's not what I'm saying. I believe you need to, you know, step by step, progressively grow your faith till you get to that potential, get to that level. And no matter if we never make it to that level, I still think we can get better or farther along, you know, than we are now. Now, see, God's promises don't exist because of our faith. They exist because of God. They're there. They're out there. But only through faith can we grab a hold of them. That's what it takes to get a hold of them. See, if there's some people, you've bumped into them. They don't believe that Jesus Christ can save them, right? They don't believe that Jesus is the way. They believe maybe he was a good man. He was a good writer. So when they come in contact with a Christian or they hear the gospel preached, due to predetermined thinking in their mind, you know, they don't, and I believe it's demonically induced, some of it. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. Anyway, when they hear the gospel preached, their preconceived notion was that, hey, Jesus was a good man, but, you know, he didn't die for my sins. They're not saved because their mind wouldn't allow them to do that. It held them in bondage. It held them back. Well, you say, well, that's stupid. It is. But we're the same way sometimes. When we read something in God's Word, we may be saved, but yet we'll only go this far. But see, God wants us to go a little bit farther, a little bit farther, a little bit farther. He's always wanting us to progress and to grow in the things of God. And as we do that, then we start to see more things happen, more miracles start to happen in our life. And, you know, that's where we hopefully desire to be. So faith is the inner man being able to see what the outer man cannot see. So as we develop our faith, and we're going to go into it maybe just a little bit more next week, is that faith is the eyesight for the invisible. And we start to see, you know, and there's a lot of stories, you know, in the Bible. You know, especially you read some of them good stories in the Old Testament. I mean, one that amazed me, and I might go into it, is that they were going into battle, and they put the singers first. That don't make no sense to me. Bunch of guys in leotards jumping around. No, I'm just kidding. You know, they didn't wear leotards probably. But, you know, you send your singers out first, okay? Yeah, that ought to really intimidate them. No, but it did what it did. As they did it God's way, which doesn't make sense to us in the natural, especially to a military mind, I would imagine, is the fact that the presence of God came down and he did all the fighting for them. Praise God. So that's one of the things we're going to go into this year is worship and go a little deeper in that. So just closing out here, you know, God honoring faith means that we need to take God at his word. And then we need to live expectantly and obediently in the present, waiting for him to fulfill his promises. So it's what we do now, how we handle the now, and getting a handle on it will tell largely what our future will be like. And I want our future to be great. Amen. Let's pray.